Let's pray and get ready for the word tonight. Pray with me. Father, I just thank you for the word. And I pray, Father, that you just help me, Lord, to speak what I'm supposed to. Father, I just pray for freedom and liberty of the Spirit, Lord, as I speak your word. And I pray for good ground, Lord, that this seed of the word of God will bring forth much fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you might turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to preach from the NIV tonight just because of one little word. We'll get to that in a minute here. But instead of using New King James or King James, I'm going to use the NIV tonight. It's the word letters instead of epistles. It just makes it a little clearer for me. I don't know about how many of you used epistles in your language this past week. Anybody? Anyway. So we're talking about letters, and anyway, I want to get to this first three verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Paul makes the point here, first of all, that he doesn't need any references. He doesn't need any letters of recommendation. He doesn't need somebody to give him the stamp of approval, because the Corinthians themselves are his letter. And they are the proof. They are the evidence of his ministry. Others can see it for themselves. I mean, you can see it in red and yellow, black and white. You can see it in the people whose lives he touched there. His ministry was verified by the impact, by the lives that were changed, not by some seal of approval, not by some organization or denomination, but by the changed lives. He said, "You are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry." That's pretty awesome. Now, I want you to remember that. He says, they're a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ. That's for us too, church. You are a letter from Christ. And whether we realize it or not, or if we've ever thought about it, each one of us is the result of some ministry. Not necessarily a pastor or preacher, but somebody has impacted your life. And for most of us, it's more than one. There's a number of people that have really impacted our life for Jesus Christ and made a mark in our life, written on our hearts for the Lord. But it was the power of Christ, it was the Spirit of God that had transformed the Corinthians' lives. But God used Paul to do that. And we need to remember that God almost always uses somebody. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to use somebody. Amen. Say, "Use me." Oh, that's good. Amen. If you say that, if you let God use you, you'll make a difference in this world. But God used Paul far beyond some temporary, momentary thing. No, he had an eternal impact on those people's lives. Their eternity is different because of him. Each of us that serves the Lord, as I said, our lives have been impacted by somebody, but we also have the opportunity to impact the lives of other people. I remember the very first pastor that I was ever under as a believer and really turned my life over to the Lord. And in fact, when I started going to that church, I was a Christian and I had been born again, but I just was not really totally, absolutely committed. And that pastor there just preached with such anointing, and I don't even remember what he preached, but I remember that I felt such conviction for my half-hearted commitment, and God changed me, and that made an impact on my life forever. I believe that impact on my life has impacted some other lives. But I'm just telling you, all of us can look back in our lives and see there are certain people that really impacted us for the Lord and made a difference in our life. Paul told the Corinthians that their lives were a letter that was known and read by all men. It's right there in verse 2. He said, known and read by everybody. Now just think about that. As a Christian, your life is a letter that's known and read by everybody. You can't hide it. It reminds me of where Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You can't hide it. The Christian that you are, the person that you are, other people see it. You know, a lot of times we profess to be something and then we're really something else. But listen, our lives are a letter, Paul says, known and read by everybody. Living letters. I mean, we have the epistles. That's where that word comes from, right? We have the letters that are recorded as scripture in the Word of God. But you yourself are also a letter of Christ, known and read by everybody. Our life is an open book. Other people can see what we really are. Verse 3, he says, you show that you are a letter from Christ. So if you're a believer, you're a letter from Christ, known and read by everybody. Now you need to think about that. What kind of letter are you? Well, you're a letter from Christ, but is your life really telling people about Christ? Does it say that God is real? Does it say that you have a relationship with Him? Does your letter, the letter of your life, does it say that your God is enough? Or does it say that you need something else? Y'all are quiet tonight. Listen. Does the letter of your life say that God is real and alive, or that He's dead or unconcerned with your life? Does it say that He's a loving God who wants to reconcile the world to Himself? Does the letter of your life say that He's angry or that He's a grump? What's the letter of your life say about the Lord? Does it say that He provides for every need? Does it say that He's more than enough in your life and satisfies the longings of your heart? Listen, when other people look at your life, do they read about the goodness of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God, the love of God? When other people read you, do they read about answered prayers? Have I got you thinking yet? I mean, when other people look at your life, do they see a letter that speaks of a God who answers prayers and you offer up thanksgiving and praise? See, if God answers your prayers, that's what you do. You give thanks, you testify, you tell people. What's the letter of your life say? Does it say God answers prayer, or does it say He doesn't answer prayer? What do other people learn about God from you, from your life? Not just what you say, but your life that's a letter, as Paul said, known and read by all, a living letter. Other people see your actions, your attitudes, and it tells them something about God. God's Word is often referred to as a love letter, and it is. Amen. I love what Brother Ken Dornhecker preached Sunday before last. about the prodigal son being a thumbnail of the whole entire Word of God, that the whole entire Bible is about this. Well, John 3:16 is another one that's a thumbnail of it. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. I mean, the whole entire Bible is about God loving us and wanting to reconcile us to Himself. And the Bible is that love letter to us from God. But I want you to realize this too, that our lives need to be a love letter too. Our lives need to be letting people know that God loves them. Amen. You know, we have too much of this in our world. We're just religious noise. Just too much, you know, too much talk and not enough walk. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And listen, in this day and hour, I'm telling you, it just won't get it. We can talk about it. We can quote scriptures to people. But if we're not living it before their eyes, they won't consider us genuine. They won't consider our faith real. We've got to be those living letters that Paul was talking about. We're known and read by everybody. And I'm telling you, the letter of our life, it needs to tell people that God is a life-changing God. That if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. See, you can quote that scripture to somebody, but when they see that your life has been changed, they know it's real. 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says this. He says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." This all-surpassing power. He's talking about a treasure in clay vessels. Now, I want to make sure you know what we're talking about. He's talking about the power of God, the Holy Spirit, inside these fleshly bodies. What a treasure. It's a power from God. When people look at our lives, do they see a God who is powerful? Do they see a God who transforms lives? By the way, that power is from God, not from us. It says that very plainly. Our lives should always point to Him. It's never just about us. It's always about Him. And whatever good is in our lives, it's God that did it. Amen. It's always the Lord's work, and it's His hand in our life. It's the Holy Spirit at work in us, and we need to give the glory to God. But realize this, the Holy Spirit is at work in you. And that Holy Spirit that's at work in you, He is able to use your life to make a difference in this world, to make a difference, a mark in somebody else's life. See, when we're led of the Spirit, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22 and 23 that this is the fruit of our life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. When you're led of the Spirit, this is what your life produces. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, as I said, fruit is, that's the evidence. That shows that the Spirit is in you. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you're being led of the Spirit, those nine things, they're automatic in your life. See, a lot of times we try real hard to have more love and to have more joy and to have more peace. If I could just have more peace and if I could just be more long-suffering. And the key is that we allow the Holy Spirit to just live strong in us and to lead us every moment of every day. Because when we are led of the Spirit, then we don't live that old life anymore. In fact, too often, we end up sending a mixed message to the world because we're living too much of the old life still. They're reading our letter. Are they getting a mixed message? I'm just telling you, we got to be careful that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us every day and that we get all the old attitudes out of our heart and really let the Lord Jesus live in us strong. Remember, you're a letter, a living letter that's known and read by all. So you need to be careful about what other people are reading. What are they reading from your life? You know, we got to always allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. In fact, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in us and change us. See, if the attitude of your heart is, yeah, I got that, Pastor. Listen, we need to keep growing. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to keep working in us, on us and making us what He wants us to be. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians 3:3. I want to read it again. He says, "You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." Now, I want you to understand this. You see, if our lives are changed, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the living God that does it. But that letter that our life is, it's been written, he says, by the Holy Spirit. So I want to get this in. 2 Corinthians 3:18, just a little bit later, he says this. He says, "We with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." See, we become more and more like Jesus. That's what this world needs to see, is more Jesus. Amen? Well, how are they going to see that? It's the Holy Spirit that's at work inside of us, transforming us and changing us into what we're supposed to be. What we're supposed to be is letters of Christ that are written by the Holy Spirit, known and read by all men. How can we do that? How can we really show people Jesus? Well, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he says, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." But here's the key. It's Christ that lives in us. That's the only way we can really live the life that will glorify God and point others in the right direction, is if we let Jesus live in us. It can't be us anymore. In the words of John the Baptist, "He must increase and I must decrease." Just need more of the Lord in our life. Just need Him to live in us. But our lives should speak of Him. Now, I want you to understand, that won't happen unless you spend time in prayer. Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide in Him. We got to abide in the vine. If we don't do that, He says we can't do anything. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. You got to spend time with the Lord. But think about this. When you spend time with Him, Jesus lives on the inside of you. And the more that you spend time with Him, the more you become like Him, the more that you draw from Him, and the more that you impact the lives of other people for the Lord Jesus. Listen, if we're a living letter of Christ, then we need to live according to the Word of God. See, how can you live a life that's worth reading? How can you live a life that's worth other people reading? Well, first of all, you got to be led by the Spirit. Second, you got to let Jesus, you got to let Christ live in you. And third, you got to live according to the Word of God. It's amazing. We'd like to preach the Bible to people, tell them to live by God's Word. It doesn't work if we're not doing it. And I'm just saying, church, we got to get this right. We want to reach people, but we can't just preach it, people. We got to live it before their eyes. They got to be able to look at us and see that it's real. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, sometimes people think, well, I read the Bible. And I just want to encourage you, it takes more than just a casual reading. It takes you going over it and over it until you get it down in your heart, until it really transforms your life. When it changes your attitude, when it renews your mind and it transforms your life, that's when we've got that letter that other people can read and it points them in the right direction. Is there somebody that you wish would read the Bible? Is there somebody, you probably think of more than somebody, you probably think of a bunch of somebodies, right? People that you wish would read the Bible, but they just won't do it for one reason or another. Maybe a family member, a coworker, an acquaintance, or neighbor. You'd like to tell them where to read, in fact, right? Why don't you let them read the letter of your life? Listen, if you want people to read the Bible, you need to be living the Bible. And there's times when you can't quote Scripture to people. They won't receive it. But if they see you living it, they'll receive it. Sometimes you just have to show it to them in your life. My grandmother was a great Christian woman, and I don't recall her quoting Scripture. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing to quote Scripture. She just didn't do that. She didn't go around quoting Scripture. Do you ever remember her quoting Scripture? But she lived it every day. And, you know, my wife is such, I've told you, she's the most spiritual person I know. And she still says, I want to be more like grandmother. That's the impact that my grandmother had on our lives. She calls her grandmother too. She didn't know her grandmother very well, and so I shared mine with her. But she says, I want to be more like grandmother. And just that impact that she had, because she lived it every day. She was loving and kind and forgiving and selfless. I'll just give you a little example just so you understand what I'm talking about. When she was 21, she married my granddaddy, who had 6 kids. So anyway, moving right along. She was that kind of person, though. She just lived to serve others and do for others. And here's the point I'm making to you, is that, you see, the life that you live is what really impacts other people. It's not how religious you are or even how many Scriptures you can quote to somebody. And I'm not discounting the power of God's Word. That's very important. What I'm saying, though, is that if our lives don't say the same thing, then our words are worthless to those people. They're not going to be received. We got to be those living letters of Christ that are showing the world the truth of God's Word. You know, talked about how people have impacted our life, talked about how that our life is a living letter. But I want you to understand that there's one more principle that the Apostle Paul gave there, and that is that he was talking about how that the Holy Spirit had actually done the writing on their hearts, but God had used him to do that. And I want you to realize that God will use you to write on other people's hearts. It's not you. Remember, it's that all-surpassing power. It's the Holy Spirit, that treasure we have in an earthen vessel. But God can use you to make a mark on somebody else's heart that lasts into eternity. I know, you know, I've been saying you gotta live it, and I'm not going to back away from that. But I am going to say, you know, sometimes you can just say one little thing to somebody that was inspired, you know, that was from the Spirit. One little thing can put them over. One little thing can get them through a battle. Or one little thing might turn them around. And I got to get this in. Children and young people are so impressionable. And they get so much negative input in this world. I'm just telling you, one word of encouragement from you. And you might think, well, who am I? But I'm just telling you, God wants to use you. And sometimes you can make a difference in somebody's life just by one thing that you said. By the way, children and young people are very impressionable, but let me tell you who else is really open. A lot of times when people are going through a difficult time, they're really open to receive. They're looking for answers. And I'm telling you, you just be sensitive to the Lord. Let the Lord use you to speak to those people. You can write something on their heart that will still be there in eternity. You know, I just want to clarify. Sometimes people think too much of themselves, and I don't like that. The Lord doesn't like it either. Nobody likes arrogance, right? God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. But a lot of times we don't think enough of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. See, I'm not talking about us being puffed up, but I'm just saying we need to realize that the greater one lives on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He can make a difference in somebody else's life. He can write on somebody else's heart and use us to do it. Need to be aware that we are influencing others. You know, some people have a lot more influence than others. Some have a lot bigger sphere of influence, impact a lot more people. But all of us have an impact, have an influence on some. What are you writing? What kind of mark are you making in those lives? By the way, this is kind of a scary thought, but the Bible says that in Genesis, it says that everything reproduces after its own kind. You know what? That's a natural law. It's also a spiritual law. You don't reproduce what you teach or what you preach, but you reproduce what you are. So you got to live it. But when you live it, I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit can use you to make a mark on somebody else's life. Listen, everybody that's a believer, everybody that's a disciple, let me tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Doing what Jesus said. And Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Listen, disciples disciple. And don't make some weird thing out of that. You're supposed to be making a difference in other people's lives, helping them learn to follow the Lord, helping them learn what it really means to sell out to God and really serve God with all their heart, helping them to find their place in ministry and be all God wants them to be. Amen. We're supposed to be making disciples. And let me tell you, that's what I'm talking about tonight. You write on somebody else's heart that the things that you've received, the things that you've learned, that you pass that on to somebody else, that you share it with somebody else. By the way, you are armed. You are equipped. Listen, you got the love of God. You got the message of the gospel. You got the word of God. And you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. What else do you need to make a difference in somebody's life? To be able to help somebody along the way. I'm telling you, you got what you need to be able to help somebody. Somebody, maybe even that you just passed by. And you might not think that much about it. But it might be an opportunity for God to use you to speak into somebody's life, to sow a seed. You might not write much in their life, but you can write one sentence in their life. Make it count. Make it a good one. Amen. But look for a place every day to leave your mark. See, when this life is over, oh, I quote that a lot, don't I? It's only what's done for Christ is going to last. But when this life is over, you want your life to have made a difference, amen? Well, one of you. Come on, the rest of you. You want your life to have made a difference. You want it to matter in eternity, amen? Well, let me tell you, don't live a day that you didn't make a mark somewhere. That you didn't, that it's somewhere on somebody's heart, somebody's life, you had some positive influence. You had, in some way, you allowed the Holy Spirit to use you to say something, or maybe it was just the way that you treated them, the way you acted. Maybe you went out of your way to help somebody, whatever it might be. But you make a difference each and every day. You put your mark somewhere. Find somebody that's struggling. Find somebody that's hurting. Find somebody that's searching. Find somebody that's in trouble. See, it's really great if you go find the best of our teenagers in there who are serving God, sold out to God, and you pat them on the back and encourage them. They need that. You should do that. But let me tell you where you really make the difference. You find the one that's in rebellion and not doing right and heading the wrong direction. And you put your arm around them and you take them under your wing and you begin to encourage them and you help them. I'm telling you, you're really making a difference in eternity now. But look for the down and out. Look for somebody that's in trouble. Look for somebody that won't even go to church, refuses to go. And you make a mark in their life. Your life speaks. What's it saying? Grace Church is sending out letters to the community. Letters from Christ. I'm talking about you. We're sending out living letters to the community. Oh, we could send out a whole bunch of, we could send out thousands and thousands of letters and might not make much difference at all. But I'm telling you, just a few living letters go out in this community and really live for Jesus and let people know what our God is like, and it makes a difference in eternity. We are letters from Christ, known and read. This is what the Bible says. Known and read by everybody. And I'm telling you, if you're a real Christian, people should know that you're a believer. Amen. There's not supposed to be any undercover Christians, right? I mean, you can't really, really live for God all out and nobody knows. Because if nobody knows, you ain't really living all out for God. I'm just saying. And if you're really living all out for God, I'm just telling you tonight that you're making a difference in this world, that people see the life that you live. And I just want to encourage you all the more. Really live for Him. Be careful about how you, the example that you live before other people and what other people see. Make a difference every day. Make it count. Well, stand with me. Let's just pray. Let's get ready. Let's just prepare our hearts to be used of the Lord, fresh and new. Father, I just thank You for the Holy Spirit tonight, who's able to empower us, to give us the words. Lord, You said to the disciples that the Holy Spirit would give them what they needed to say. And I just pray, Father, that we as Your people in this dark day, Lord, in a generation where so many are hurting, so many are searching, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would just give us the right words to say wherever we are. And I pray, Father, that You would just put on us the Spirit of Christ, that it just be strong in our lives, Lord, that we will not follow the ways, the attitudes, the lifestyle, the behaviors of this world, but truly, Lord, would be led of the Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, that our lives would bring glory and honor to You. And the letter of our life would speak of You. In Jesus' name, that's my prayer, Lord. Amen. 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 Well, if you want that for yourself, you say amen, would you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We're going to dismiss the service tonight, but I just want to give you an opportunity. If you want special prayer, maybe you just want to be a better witness for the Lord, or maybe you need healing, or you have some prayer need, whatever it might be. If you need prayer tonight, I just want you to know I'd be glad to pray with you. There'll be other prayer partners available as well. So if you need prayer, you come and we'll just pray with you. We'll believe God with you. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.